Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome back to Earn More, Stress Less with another episode this week with me, Caro Sison. I also have a previous guest with us this week, Chantelle Davison. Now, Chantelle is an excellent copywriter who came on an earlier episode, and I'll reference that in the show notes so you can hear all about her journey into copywriting. But this week, I've invited Chantelle on because we want to talk about young people becoming self-employed and starting their entrepreneurial journey straight from school, and about why more don't start working for themselves at a younger age. I love starting up conversations about never being too young to work for yourself, and I really want to encourage more people to begin straight out of school. So please do share this episode with anyone that you think could benefit from hearing our chat today. Chantelle and I have spoken a number of times around people's squiggly journeys into self-employment, and whilst neither of us left school and became self-employed straight away, I think it's something that our schools should be exploring more with our teenagers to start preparing them for. I'd love to hear your feedback on today's podcast and your own experiences, so please do come over to Instagram, DM me at pocketpa.gb with your thoughts around this topic. So Chantelle, welcome back. How well are schools doing getting our kids ready for self-employed life these days, in your view?
It's very limited, to be honest. I think it's very limited. I certainly don't remember thinking that self-employment or entrepreneurship was an option for me. And I don't mean that I couldn't do it. I mean that it wasn't what I should be doing. And I remember very much in school, there was this kind of linear path that, particularly if you are, you know, bright and academic and you do well in school, if you do well in exams, then the path that you're supposed to take, in inverted commas, is university, corporate job, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever that looks like. And that's kind of given to you as the path, you know, route A. That's the preferred option. If you are an academic person who does well in exams, that's where you're going to go. And I don't remember ever hearing anyone suggest that there was really any kind of viable alternative to that. You know, if you weren't going to be something vocational like an actress or a singer or, you know, dancer, those are kind of the only other things that were referenced. But the, I guess the uncertainty of entrepreneurship, or the kind of massive opportunity there is for people in it, was never brought up, at least whilst I was in school. And I suspect not much has changed since then, from what I hear from, you know, from friends who are parents and teachers. The message seems to be that there's still not a huge amount being done to show kids that entrepreneurship or self-employment is not just a viable option, but a bloody brilliant option.
A great one, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think certainly schools, they, you know, at 15, 16, they start talking about careers and options and things post-school. And then obviously in the sixth form, it's discussed an awful lot more. But do you just feel that the careers pathways or the careers teachers or the module or whatever it is that it's doing just doesn't embrace it because of the uncertainty? And because, do you think they make assumptions that school leavers won't have any skill sets that could start earning an income straight from the get-go at 16, and that, you know, not only would they not be equipped with enough life skills that they couldn't start earning money, but they also don't have any experience that they could charge for? Do you think that that would be a reasonable objection, that the schools could argue this is why they don't promote it, because of the uncertainty, and that they want to promote things where you know, the school leavers can gain experience? Or do you feel so strongly that, you know, self-employment should be an option that is discussed much more widely and prepared for at schools, and for them to take on some of that that responsibility of education?
It's a reasonable argument. I think, you know, there is a case for saying that becoming an entrepreneur later in life might mean you have more life experience, a wider set of skills to bring to the table. I myself didn't leave school and become an entrepreneur. I went and had a corporate career for 7 years and brought some of those skills into it. However, I also spent a huge amount on university, less than kids are now, because the fees are astronomical now. And so I think it's a bit of a balance. It's weighing up, you know, is the additional income, experience, et cetera, you're going to get from going to university and doing something different for a while going to be worth the difference in, you know, in the fees and debt that you accrue throughout that process? And I'm inclined as well, a little bit cynically, to suggest that if a school were making that case, that probably isn't the real reason. I think
I was literally putting that in as being a devil's advocate, knowing that we don't have anyone representing the schools here. So I was trying to think of what they may argue back to us, because yeah. I know that you and I are both actually on the same hymn sheet of saying that we do yeah. feel very strongly that self-employment should be given as an option and discussed more readily with their students. And right. and I suppose I say that from a strong standpoint of having four kids that left school and at 18, and only one of them went on to university, and two of them are now self-employed in their early 20s. And I felt that they hadn't been equipped at all with any of the discussions around working for themselves, what self-employment was, how they could navigate that whole route, how they would manage their finances, having of those income expense conversations, and all of the different you know, skill sets that might be needed to be self-employed. And yet mm-hmm. two of my kids are successfully self-employed and doing, you know, really, really well. But I feel that that's yeah. You know, in spite of, not because of anything that they were equipped with at school. And thankfully, because I have been self-employed for the last 30 plus years, I was able yeah. as a parent to champion their direction of travel and support them in the way that they needed to. But
and I was fortunate in the same way.
Yes,
my dad, my mum and dad to do the same for me.
Yeah.
I think one of the things as well that bugs me, I guess, that I get up on my little high horse about, is that I think we have a bad incentive for schools, because they are motivated to get as many students as they can into university. That is how they're graded on their success. You know, it's not how many kids leave school happy, how many kids leave school and have great careers, how many, you know. And I know that those things are so much harder to judge, so they can't. But if you're judging an educational institution based on how many people they send to university, they are badly incentivized, because they aren't going to look at each individual and say, what is the best route for them? They're going to look at each individual and say, how can we get them shoehorned into the career?
So there's a bias
that makes
already.
Us look better. Yeah, of yes. course there is.
Yes. They're being judged on their by on their results, really, of how many that they can get into the next level of education. But you're right. I mean, these days where you're going into university now and you're having to pay for 3 or 4 years of not only the tuition, but also your living costs, it's not unusual at all now for these students to come out at 22, 23 with literally, you know, £30,000 to £50,000 worth of debt at that point. And that is a huge amount to be starting your career with, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. You know, later on that you want to buy, God forbid, a car or a house, you're going to have all of those debts adding into your whole mix of, you know, finances. And so that on its own should be a reason, I think, for people to step back and think, right, what are the options at 18 or 16, you know, when my son didn't go into do his A-level. So he had to look at alternative pathways at 16 because he didn't do A-levels. So these students at 16 and 18, you know, are having to make decisions, difficult decisions. And I think that there is a natural trajectory to move them on towards further education where they're going to continue learning. And therefore, it's going to be a responsibility for them to pay for that. And, you know, through either a course-based learning, which they pay for, or university. And that's a huge responsibility to be making. But, you know, I look back at 18 and think, gosh, did I know what I wanted to do for the rest of my life at 18? I just think, you know, we expect us, you know, ourselves to know that journey. And most kids do not know. And I say where you begin is never where you end up. I've had a very scenic route to what I'm doing now. And I know that, you know, you've had a wiggly path as well, which is quite common now. There is no such thing as a job for life. Whereas before, you know, our parents or grandparents used to leave school and they would start in a job and, you know, 40, 50 years later, they would get their carriage clock and they would have been employed in that same role for the whole. That's just totally unheard of. That is not today's society. So I think we need to be broadening this conversation massively to now understand where our young people are going and how they can get into self-employment. I mean, you work obviously in the freelance world and they're all self-employed. You know, what would be their experience, do you think, of finding their way into self-employment? Would many of them have started from the get-go at 18?
So the kind of people that I work with who are training to be copywriters, there's a really common theme, actually. Most are not school leavers. Most are not coming straight from school. What tends to happen is the majority of them tend to be mums who have left the corporate world or left a full-time job to raise their children. And then because they've had this gap in their career, feel really unconfident and really removed from the working world. So want to learn a new skill that they can either do, you know, in their own business by themselves or bring back into their career. But I think a lot of it tends to be later in life. I mean, what I've seen a lot in the last few years, actually, is people who were working from home during the lockdown and realized that was what they wanted to do all the time because they love being with their family more and loved having that flexibility and freedom. And they're like, oh, maybe I could start my own business and work from home all the time and have much more of that flexibility and freedom. So it's a bit of a mix, but what I hear a lot of people saying is, I wish I'd done this earlier.
Yes, I hear that too.
I wish I had the guts to do this earlier. And I feel that too. You know, I enjoyed some of the elements of my corporate career, but I could be so much further along in my business if I had started this earlier. And I had everything I needed to do.
Well, you were
doing
your copywriting from 13 with your dad's business, weren't you? So you were already doing that way before you'd even left school. So you did have those skill sets. And I think that there are these days loads of 16 to 18 year olds that actually are very accomplished and, you know, experts in their field, whatever that might be, because there are so many, you know, that there are numerous things that people can be paid for and become self-employed in that sector. And I just think that it's a really, it's just a really underserved conversation that's not happening at schools and stuff. I mean, who was your go-to person when you became self-employed? Did you speak to your dad, your parents about questions and stuff? So you had a reference point. But where do people go to self-employment school? Where's the self-employment academy that they can go to? Who do people turn to these days if they think, gosh, I want to be self-employed? How do I learn that? What do I do? What are the skill sets that I need to be self-employed? Or is it really just, you know, a stab in the dark and just learning as I go along and, you know, hoping that I'm going to succeed? You know, what do you think schools could be doing to open up this conversation? And, you know, whether it's incentivizing them or not, but, you know, schools ultimately want to do the best for their students. I know that it's not ultimately about where the student goes, but, you know, how could schools, if you could, you know, sprinkle some magic fairy dust, what would you like the schools to do differently that you think could really support the self-employed entrepreneur's journey into that much sooner?
I love this question. I think for me, it's about possibility portals. And what I mean by that is showing kids people who are doing this, like, you know, bringing in people who are self-employed, who are entrepreneurs, who have had that wiggly scenic path to where they've got to, and showing them that that's not just normal. It's completely good. It's good and it's okay. And it's fine, you know, because I think a lot of us, when we're young, we feel like if we don't hit a certain thing by the time we're 25 or 30 or whatever, it's like we've been a failure in some way. But it just isn't true. You know, like you said, the wiggly route and the scenic route is just as valid, and you accrue all the skills along the way. I think bringing in people like you and I, and people like our colleagues and our friends in the mastermind with us, who have built careers on a freelance or self-employed basis and who love what they do, that's the best possible way we can demonstrate the value of self-employment to kids, is showing them that what that life looks like. Because we don't have models for it. And, you know, we just don't see people who do that. You know, most people's parents aren't, most people's teachers aren't. They're being modeled by people who have chosen careers, employed careers.
Yes. And I think children at school are obviously being taught by teachers who have followed that linear pathway. So they may not have had any experience in self-employment. And it might just seem like, you know, we are on the other side to anything that they're familiar with, which perhaps doesn't give them the confidence to speak about that with any certainty. And, you know, kids that aren't book smart, that don't fit into that academic profile, you know, those square pegs that they're trying to fit into those round holes, and you know, squares being a circle, I call them squircles. And, you know, you're having to be a squircle when, you know, where do you fit? If you're square and, you know, they're trying to make you round, where's the place for square people? And where's the people for, you know, where do all the triangles go? Where do all the, you know, the shapes that don't fit into that natural, you know, institutionalized direction of travel for, you know, the government that wants to see people, you know, education is power. And, you know, I'm not disrespecting the education system at all. I'm a huge supporter and believer that, you know, education unlocks so many things. But, you know, when we look at diversity and make sure that we're including all of those students at school, not everybody is academic and can shine their light by being book smart. However, it doesn't lessen their success. You know, often the most successful people haven't come away from school with any academic, you know, career big movers and shakers and are going to be corporate. They're often incredibly creative people. You know, you look at the Alan Sugars and the Richard Bransons that weren't academic at school, and yet, you know, you don't see them struggling. But it's a systemic thing, I think, that's happening in our schools. Do you think that's the case?
That's kind of what I mean by possibility portals, in a way, really, is bringing people back who can be honest with kids and say, I didn't do well in school. You know, I didn't get all the grades. Like, I think about my dad when I think about this, and that's what makes me really passionate about showing entrepreneurship as an option, because my dad left school at 16. You know, he wasn't academic, he didn't get great grades, but he's one of the brightest, most entrepreneurial people I know. And I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, he struggles with writing, with language a little bit, and dyslexia wasn't a thing, really, you know, in terms of being, yeah. And so it's never been formalized, but I think it's, you know, it's very possible that he's dyslexic. I think, you know, there is a huge disproportionate number of entrepreneurs who are dyslexic, and people who are dyslexic struggle in school more because that's not their natural attitude. You know, the academia, the book smart thing, even just taking exams, they might be incredibly bright and good at what they do and intelligent, but taking the exams is a massive challenge. And so what tends to happen, I think, is that a lot of the time self-employment is seen as like a backup plan for people who don't have that academic route to follow. And that's why we have such a disproportionate number of people in entrepreneurship, successful entrepreneurship, I might add, who are dyslexic. I think something like, I looked it up recently, there's 15% of entrepreneurs self-identify as dyslexic, compared with something like 7 or 8% of the general population. Like, it's a huge difference. And you can only really explain that by, I think one of the ways you can explain that is by demonstrating that it is, you know, it's given to people as a kind of backup option if they don't do well in school. It's like, you could go and run a business if you can't go to university, or if you can't go and become a doctor or whatever. And I just, It's mad.
But how ridiculous is that, that you could go and run a business? You know, I think certainly when my kids left school, or and when I left school, actually, it was like, well, if you don't go to university, well, never mind if you become a plumber or an electrician or a hairdresser, God forbid, or you end up in beauty. It's this end up in this presuming a dead end type job. But you know what? These self-employed people are actually, you know, having the last laugh, because they are living their best life, being their own boss. I look at my daughter with 6 holidays this year because she's so successful in her business, choosing her hours, her time, her everything. And, you know, I think also with social media these days, with these amazing Instagram showreels, I think kids are exposed to this very fast life, you know, easy access to all of these things. And yet they're being given a different message about, you know, that, I mean, there's absolutely the message that you do have to work hard. And I don't like the idea that self-employment is over glamorized to seem like this freedom business is so super easy. And, you know, you're just going to fall into it and the money's going to just arrive in your bank account. Because we all know being self-employed that that absolutely isn't the case. But I think we need to give a realistic take to students. And I love this idea of possibility portals where they could be introduced to, you know, explore the idea of self-employment. Do they have any skill sets, or could they work towards having a skill set that would enable them to become self-employed sooner rather than later, and allow you know, their light to shine, and for them to be a beacon to others behind them that, you know, it is a viable option to earn a living and a good living, and to earn a load of skill sets, you know, under your belt that nobody can ever take away. You know, you're not going to be building somebody else's dream. You're going to be building your lifestyle and your dream by, yeah, because, you know, employment and jobs, and absolutely they do, you know, pay the bills and they give certainty and routine and stability and a huge part of our economy. But I think with more and more people leaving school that haven't been book smart or haven't engaged with academia, I think it is a really important subject that we try to explore more, to find ways to support our young people, you know, moving straight into self-employment as an option.
Agreed. And I think it's about showing people that there's value in their skills and their abilities, even if those aren't academic. Like, you know, you still have so much to offer, and you still have valuable commercial skills. I think from a confidence and self-esteem point of view, it's really important to be sharing that message with kids, that they aren't just in a, you know, in some contest to win the top university spot or get the best grades. They're in a race with themselves. Like, it's not about what anyone else is doing. And entrepreneurship, like we've talked about before and on the last episode as well, it's all about that individuality. And people who have that creativity and that spark, they deserve to know that that is a valuable commodity. Not everyone has that. You know, plenty of kids can go on to be doctors and lawyers, but they could never be entrepreneurs.
And unfortunately, we, you know, there isn't a measure of happiness, a formal measure to actually differentiate. And I know when you were in corporate, you were feeling that you were burning out and it was just becoming too much. It was just too much. And, you know, when you saw people further up your ladder in corporate, you didn't want to become one of those people. That wasn't where you were aspiring to become. And so breaking out into self-employment was, you know, almost a release for you. And, you know, a happier choice for you. And, you know, I understand that schools, you know, aren't there to be measured on life's happiness, et cetera. That's, you know, that's not one of their measures of success. But I think it is an important aspect that we have to take into account.
Yeah. And it depends on the kind of person you are as well, right? Because there are some people, like some of my closest friends, who would be miserable running their own business. You know, they love certainty. They love stability. They love consistency. And if you want those things in your life, entrepreneurship is not the one for you.
Absolutely.
But if you are, you know, if you are the kind of person that likes jumping between lots of different things, that loves variety, that loves being your own boss, that's never quite got on board with the rules, doesn't really like being told what to do, entrepreneurship feels like a life hack. Like, you suddenly realize, like, wait, I could be doing whatever I want all day, something I genuinely love, and I could make a better living than the money I was making when I was being told what to do by some boring person in a suit. Like, That's amazing. Why did no one tell me this before? So I guess I'm just really passionate that people know that is there, because I think there are so many kids, like, you know, little me's and little you's, who are running around thinking that they're less than because they're creative and not academic. And it's just, it's different courses for horses. And it's just about knowing that whatever your natural proclivity is, there is a route that feels good for you and can make you happy.
There will be somewhere that you will fit in, that you will be able to shine your light, and you will be able to earn a living. And it's just about combining that and finding that sweet spot, I think, because so many careers that are discussed at school, you know, I certainly never heard them talking about copywriting. You know, I never heard anybody about, you know, software designers, or, you know, all of those things that, you know, that we come across. And we know so many, you know, hundreds of people that are self-employed in such niche verticals. And, you know, I think, you know, whilst schools aren't going to be able to cover all of those things, I think just the general conversation about self-employment is an option. And there will be some generic skill sets that they could be starting to equip them with in order for them to be able to venture down into that route, and then to marry that up with the actual expertise that younger person has and can develop to be able to shine their light and earn a living from it. So that's really, really great.
Well, for the people listening to this as well, I think they're really lucky to have found you, because one of the things you are doing really successfully and, you know, with a real passion in this world is trying to provide those tools and skills for people who want to, you know, and I know that's because your daughter, you made this app for your daughter. And
I would never have done Pocket PA without this.
It's fantastic that you're providing that, because I know, having obviously looked at the tools that you provide for people, when I first started out, it would have been a huge, huge lifesaver and a massive resource. So, you know, thank you for doing that, because I think it will make business more accessible for people.
And I think that accessibility and letting them know that they just need to focus on the bits that they're good at, and that there's always something in the background that they can use to support their self-employed journey. And that was my motivation for making Pocket PA for my own kids, to enable them to manage all that business stuff behind the scenes, because I wanted them to, you know, to shine their light and be self-employed doing what they loved, but they weren't natural business people. And why would they have been? Nobody taught them any of that stuff. And it is something that we learn slowly. So, you know, I'm just all about allowing choices for people and for people to find the best fit and, you know, being happy. There's, you know, life is so short. We're not having a dress rehearsal here. It's, you know, one shot at it, and we need to crack on and find what we love doing as soon as possible. So thank you, Chantelle. And for people, if they'd like to find you, what's the best way that they can connect with you?
Yeah, so social media is always a great shout. I'm over on Instagram at choicewordscopy, and I'm also on Facebook. I have a free Facebook group called Copy That Sells. So if you're interested in finding out a bit more about business in general, copywriting, you can come along and find me there and join me there.
Perfect. Chantelle, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening again to another episode of Earn More and Stress Less. I hope you have a great week, whatever you're doing, and we will catch up again next week. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.